Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. My name is Nick Parks, and I'm from the Microfame Media Network. Today, I'm going to be interviewing David as we continue with our mini-series, Fire Your Business Coach. We're going to be talking about coaches who have all charm and no substance, and we're going to compare them to companies and organizations like Weight Watchers and BNI. So, David, what do you think the main difference is?
Well, first of all, in both cases, both Weight Watchers and BNI, the founders created the community not because they were trying to build something for themselves, but because they found value in mutual support among a number of people who were facing similar challenges. So it wasn't about the founder, it wasn't about personality, it wasn't about ego. It was about a group of people trying to address a similar kind of topic together.
And is that something that you feel is very common among coaches, or do you think it's kind of the opposite? Do you think there are a lot of people who are actually marketing the things that you just listed, like maybe a personality, maybe an ego or a personal brand?
Yeah, I would say I don't see that it's all that common among coaches. I think it is. I think it's a common trait among any group of people who are dealing with similar kinds of issues, particularly challenges. Like, you think about professional associations as an example. Why do professional associations form? I was trained as a chemical engineer. There's the American Institute of Chemical Engineers trying to deal with professional issues that chemical engineers deal with. It's not about the person who started the society. It's about trying to improve the profession for everybody. It's a very different approach.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I would think in a lot of ways that would actually be, it almost just seems more trustworthy in that way. You know, you kind of go in and you know that you're going to be with like-minded people, and that it seems like an area where everyone can learn and grow, rather than, you know, kind of going in or having a little bit of skepticism or saying, is someone trying to sell something to me?
There's no perceived, there's no perceived conflict of interest between the founder or leader of the organization and the members.
Like, good to great, I think, is a good example. And I know that's something that you and I have talked about before, David. You know, I'm seeing a lot of similarities there, because I remember Jim Collins was talking about in their studies, one of the things that they saw consistently was that the businesses that really went from being a good company to a great company had a CEO who really focused on the business first and foremost, rather than himself. And they actually had a lot of studies where there were these instances of having this rock star CEO who kind of stepped in and grew the business in a tremendous way. But as soon as he left, the company kind of fell apart.
Right. And that's not really a healthy company for the long term. If the company's success is just based on the personality or the force of the leader, then if that leader leaves, there's a lot of problems.
Would you say you're kind of seeing that with the coaching industry right now? Are there a lot of coaches out there who, kind of the same thing, if it's just not a good long-term solution? Say there's a small business owner who hires this coach more so on their personality than their credentials or anything else, but maybe they hire this coach for 2 years, and then at the end of the 2 years they decide, you know, I'm ready to go off on my own. I think I've grown a lot. Do you think that can, in a lot of ways, make it so that when they do split ways with the coach, things kind of fall apart, like they've been depending on the coach too much?
I think it depends on what it is the coach is actually providing. If it's really personality driven, I question whether the client is receiving much benefit at all, other than perhaps feeling good that there's an opportunity to have a conversation, a kind of vent and unload in front of the coach on a regular basis, right? So, you know, one of the things that happens in a coaching relationship is there's an opportunity to get things off your chest if you're the client, and just the act of unloading things may make you feel better, And if the the response to your unloading things is to help steer you in a direction that will address some of the issues, that's great. But if it's just a matter of venting in front of a personality, then when that personality leaves, you're not going to be any better off. And frankly, I'm not sure that you were just venting in front of a personality is going to gain you a whole lot anyway, in terms of real growth.
I think that can be an easy trap to fall into, because you feel like you're making progress, or you feel like you're being busy. But it can be one of those things where, like, at the end of the day, that's not something that really helped your business, or it didn't increase revenue or anything like that. I think that's, would you say that's something that's pretty common, and a lot of people are encountering that when they hire a coach? There are just things that it may feel productive, it may feel like it's helping them, but in the long run, maybe it's not actually growing their business.
Well, I've seen many entrepreneurs that have cycled through lots of coaches. It's sort of like the coach of the month club, where they'll be attracted to a coach because of the coach's marketing, and they'll sign on for a program for 3 months or 6 months, and they'll go through that, and then they'll not really, they'll kind of be in the same place they were at the beginning of the process, and then they'll go on to another coach who may have a slightly different methodology, but the client is not really advancing with the second coach either. So, Nick, going back to what you mentioned as the franchise model for coaching, there are a lot of problems associated with it. And we see this, I think, more and more with the rise of the ability to have digital businesses, where an individual coach follows somebody else who's created a system for solving business growth. As an example, you can learn how to productize your services and make sales while you sleep, as opposed to trading time for dollars. That's a really popular concept. And what the coach has done is studied how someone else has created a productization of services and is basically trying to regurgitate the system and trying to replicate it. The challenge is that business growth is very complex. There are a lot of different elements to it. And one size fits all rarely works. So trying to productize a service, if you haven't done it yourself and haven't experienced lots of different kinds of service models, it may be very hard to do, and you can't, I don't think you can just use the exact same methodology to productize every kind of service business. There are a lot of nuances in what you would need to what you need to implement. So that I think the franchise model is one that is rarely going to work for coaching.
So what are some of these nuances that maybe people have run into? Because I'm sure, is it just that there are a lot of different problems that entrepreneurs can run into?
Well, the biggest one is human interaction. We're all unique, and every business is dealing with a unique set of customers and unique set of problems. So there isn't going to be one solution that fits everybody. The reason that there are so many opportunities for business and so many ways to package and sell things is because there are so many unique solutions that are needed. And using one size fits all is not really the greatest for human interaction.
So kind of going back to associations, this thought of, you're talking about this association for chemical engineers. Would you say kind of this idea of having a community would really align with that in a lot of ways, more so than just one authoritative figure.
Well, if you're dealing with the complexity of scaling a business, then having multiple sets of ideas and multiple perspectives and multiple skill sets as part of the advice that you're getting should be very helpful.
And yeah,
you can,
so
do
I
that,
think, like,
you can do that in the community much more easily than you can do it with, you're not going to be able to do it with one individual helping you. So it's like, you know, if you want to, if you're a singer and you want to do a better job of singing and you want your voice to sound better, then it's great to hire a voice coach, somebody who actually has a trained voice and has gone through training himself or herself and knows how to teach as well. To help you improve your vocal quality. So for specific kinds of tasks, coaching can be beneficial if you look for somebody with a very specific kind of expertise. But if you're looking for somebody with to deal with overall scaling of a business, there's so many complex issues and so many different kinds of personalities that you're going to be dealing with. I think it's very hard to find one person who can help you with all of that.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned Podcaster's Paradise before, and it seems like this could be a good example of it because, you know, it was started by a podcaster, John Lee Dumas, arguably one of the biggest podcasters out there. And from what I understand, it's not that John Lee Dumas answers every question that's posted in the group. It's more of the community is engaged, and sounds like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like, you know, it's kind of niched down in a way. It's a lot of business owners who have a podcast, who want to start a podcast. But at the same time, it's broad in a good way so that people can have different questions, and chances are there are going to be some people in the group who have encountered this before, whether it's a technical issue with the podcast or, you know, maybe people have... have you seen people ask, like, maybe a marketing question or maybe a management question? Does it kind of range in topics within the group?
Well, that's actually a great example of a community where the value to members comes from the other members of the community. So John Lee Dumas, yes, he's one of the big-name podcasters around entrepreneurship, and... John Lee Dumas can provide some lessons on how he got his podcast started and how he built a business around his podcast. But when he started his podcast, there were very few 7-day-a-week podcasts based on interviews with successful entrepreneurs. So... the marketplace has changed a lot in the few years since he started his podcast. And he may not be the best person to offer tips on how to gain a foothold in a new business using a podcast because the marketplace has actually changed a lot in the few years since he started his podcast. So some of the other members of the community that have done it more recently are probably in a better position to answer questions about how to start the podcast. If someone has a question about how to, where are some of the best resources to go get your podcast edited? There may be some people in the community who have better answers than John Lee Dumas because it's a very specific kind of question. So, the fact that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people in this community who are there to provide answers to questions and to support one another makes it a much richer and more beneficial experience to someone who has a challenge, who's a member of the community, rather than just going to John Lee Dumas for the answer.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point with that. I mean, one of the things I know you've talked about in this mini-series so far is how much... just how much everything has changed with the economy, with running a business, especially within the last 10 years or so. And it sounds like by building a community like that, that's a great way to have something that stays very relevant. So say if someone built a very successful company and they really reached kind of this great level of success 10, 15 years ago, even though they can still have great advice, there are going to be a lot of things that are very different than they are in 2016, which can be problematic if they set themselves up to be the one with all the answers. But does it sound like if they've set up a community where people are engaging with each other, you know, it just seems like you can very easily, as a member of the community, find someone who is either going through it themselves or has gone through it more recently. And they could, it sounds like they have a kind of in the trenches kind of experience in a way that the founder may not even have in this area.
Right. Also, if I'm a podcaster, my personality is going to be different than John Lee Dumas. His podcast has been successful partly because of timing when he started it, partly because of format and structure, and partly because of who he is and what works for him as a podcaster. Those elements are going to be different for me because of the time when I started my podcast may be different than his. My ideal audience member may be different than his. And my personality is going to be different than his. So different things are going to work for me. So having multiple people to kind of bounce things off of can be really beneficial and help me get some perspective that I wouldn't get just going to one person, even though that one person has arguably been quite successful doing what he's done. And yes, I could learn a lot from John Lee Dumas, but I can also learn from the other people who are in the community. And in some cases, I may learn things that are more relevant to me from other members of the community.
So if that's the case, would you say that's what you would look for? Say if you wanted to join some kind of, if you felt like you needed help as an entrepreneur, would you look for kind of like the good to great, kind of using that as an example, how the great companies really had a strong company rather than one strong leader? Would you look for that in a coach? Would you look for someone who has a strong community versus someone who has a very strong name themselves?
I would certainly look for somebody who has a strong community over a strong name. And strong community means that the community has people like me in it, dealing with the same kinds of issues that I'm dealing with, people who are willing to be helpful, people who have similar values to mine. So I'm not going to experience a clash of values or get advice that's going to make me uncomfortable because it doesn't fit with my personal or business values. And the community also has to be structured in a way that this mutual support will happen when it's needed. And it's not hard to try to find the support. So if I need to communicate with people who are of like mind and dealing with similar kinds of issues, I can find them without too much trouble. And they will notice me and they'll respond to me. So whether it's an online community or an in-person community or a combination, the structure is there to foster the kind of support we need in order to help us achieve our goals.
Yeah, I think you said it yourself, you know, looking for people who are kind of going through the same thing. I think that would be very important too, because you wouldn't want to join a community that in a lot of ways is something that you've already grown past, if you've already been through that phase and you've moved past it.
Right. So as an example, if I'm running a company that has 50 employees, I'm probably not going to benefit by joining a community that is all solopreneurs. We're going to be dealing with very different kinds of issues.
Yeah. I think it's, so how would you...
And if I'm a solopreneur, I'm not going to join a community that is only CEOs of companies with, you know, hundreds of employees, because I'll be overwhelmed by what I hear.
So how are some ways to look for that? So say you've decided you want to look for some kind of coaching system that has a community. How do you study the community? How do you know if you're a good fit or not?
I think you need to do a few things. One is you should look at your own vision, goals, and values for your business. What are they? Where do you want your business to end up? What's your exit strategy? If you have never written some value statements for your company, maybe now is the time to do it. See if you can come up with 10 like core values that are really important to you as a business owner. What do you want your company to represent in the to its employees and to the public and to you as the business owner? Start to look for places where those people with similar kinds of vision, goals, and value hang out. See if you can visit some of those communities and test them out. See what resonates with you. One of the biggest challenges with hiring a coach that has a strong personality and a very kind of restrictive methodology on the way he or she thinks you should scale a business is, you know, as I mentioned, each person is unique, and trying to get yourself to fit into somebody else's shoes is only going to work up to a point. And you may be good at marketing and sales, or you might be good at project management or leading a team, and the coach may be good at some other aspects. The coach may be good at marketing and sales where you're good at the implementation. So trying to follow somebody else's methodology will work up to a point, but it is probably not going to deal with the complexity of situations that you are likely to face as a business owner and entrepreneur as you try to scale your business. I think coaches for very specific kinds of tasks can be really helpful. Like if you're looking for a voice coach, if you have somebody who is a professional singer who has a trained voice and knows how what it takes to train a voice, using Mike's example, that's having that person coach you about how to train your own voice is very useful. But scaling a business is very complex. It involves a lot of different kinds of skills. And I think it's hard to go to one person for all of it. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter. And please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you would write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious. I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.